Well, hey everybody, welcome to this online service. My name is Josh Erickson, and I have the pleasure of being one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And I want to say welcome to you to this online service whenever you might be enjoying it. Hey, if you're watching this service or listening to this at the first time when we publish it, I want to wish all of you who are mothers or women a happy Mothers and Women of the Church Day to you. Please know that none of us would be here without you, and we are so grateful for you. I mean that literally. None of us would be here without a woman, and none of us in the church would be who we are today without your great support. So thank you. Well, we're going to continue our exploration here of becoming better humans, looking at how God wants the fruit of the Spirit to emerge in all of us. And today we're going to be exploring the particular dimension or fruit of self-control, which I will warn you is probably the thing that I need to grow in the most. So thanks again for joining us, and we hope our time together is a blessing to you. All right, this one comes with a major hypocrite warning. I need to be completely candid up front. Of all the fruits of the Spirit, this one that we're talking about today, which is self-control, is probably the one that I struggle with the absolute most. And so if you're like, I don't want to hear a hypocrite, you should probably never listen to anybody's preaching. But if you're like, I definitely don't want to listen to a hypocrite, then you might want to shut this one off. But if you're willing to give someone who's trying to be better and trying to become a better human like God wants me to be, then maybe we can explore this together. So if you're still with me, we'll jump in a little further about what it looks like to see this particular dimension of self-control emerge in our lives and why it's so important for us when it comes to trying to be more faithful and if we care to be more like Jesus. So self-control is one of those things that we think about probably a lot. Now, some of us have to think about it more than others because some of us, like myself, like to talk first and think second. Some of us like to talk more and listen less. But all of us, I think if we're being honest with ourselves, will recognize that we maybe could do better with more self-control in our lives. Now, self-control in the biblical sense is like self-control we think about today. Like I've shared elsewhere in this series, sometimes what we read in the scriptures is not quite what we think about, but this one is pretty close on a one-to-one. So self-control is showing restraint of one's emotions, one's impulses, and one's desires. Showing restraint is controlling one's emotions, one's impulses, and one's desires. Now, this is one of those things, like often, where it's sort of easy to talk about, but harder to unpack, and easy to talk about and harder to do something different with in particular. Because what happens here is if we do not control our emotions, our impulses, our desires, we will simply fall down to what is the base common denominator around us. Now, the base common denominator around us is something that we need to be careful with because we all live different lives and have different contexts. However, one of the things that's really challenging about our lives today is that we are no longer just bound to be influenced by those just around us because of the internet. Because of social media, we can find ourselves being drawn to and influenced by people all around the world, which is unique. Now, that's not unique anymore, but it is unique for human beings, that especially when we think about trying to live into a faith that's 2,000 years old. And I bring that up to say that we have to be really cognizant of all the different ways that our emotions, our desires, and our impulses are kind of brought down before us, and they're not usually risen up. Now, there are some positive influencers or influences out there, but it does seem like a lot of the things going on around us are, how low can I go? What's the least I can do and get away with it? And that gets back to why we have laws, why we have civil and local laws, is because people want to know, what's the minimum expectation that I have to adhere to without going to jail? Now, that might sound a bit extreme, but that's kind of the bottom. But that's not where we want to live. We don't live, love, and work at the bottom. Certainly, if you have a faith journey, you want to be trying to become more loving, more faithful, more reliable, more of all those kinds of things as we pursue this fruit of the Spirit emerging in us, those things come true. Now, here's what is interesting, is that our goal, if you're a Christian, is to live like Jesus, to love like Jesus, and to help God's dream come true. And Jesus was a very emotional person. But there were certain emotions that Jesus had front and center on display. And if we pursue those kinds of emotions, we're going to show a kind of regulation. We're going to show a kind of spiritual emotional intelligence that would show we're having self-control. Now, the emotions that we see Jesus engaging in are ones of compassion and sorrow and grief. There's righteous anger and joy are some of the things that he shows as emotions. He also has times thinking seemingly of exhaustion and anxiety as well, but that is a different kind of pursuit when we get to those places. So if we think about, if we are wanting to be like Jesus, then we want to live in a way that the emotions we experience or the emotions we fall into, because emotions kind of happen temporarily or spontaneously because we're conditioned in so many ways. But if we're pursuing more of the grief and the sorrow and the joy in the sense of how Jesus experienced it, then our lives are going to become more and more aligned with Christ. And then we're going to have more and more of that spirit emerge in us. That's one of the very most important ways that we can show self-control is to show regulation of our emotions so that we have more of experiences like Jesus. Because what, think about this, if we don't experience joy, we're going to experience the lack of joy in our lives, and it's going to be that lack of fulfillment. If we don't experience grief, then we're not going to understand what it means to have important things in our life that we lose. If we are simply just angry for the sake of being angry, we're not going to know when we need to step up and have a more righteous anger and pursue kind of protecting people who are vulnerable, making sure that we are fighting the good fight that God wants us to fight sometimes and not the ones that we think because of what we want. And so that's a very important part of making sure that we have self-control. Another one is these impulses, making sure that we are aware that we can just be people who are full of sort of impulse reactions, sudden desires that maybe come out of nowhere, but they really don't come out of nowhere, do they? But if they do, or when we recognize them, we need to be ready to pause. We can't be just always captured by the emotion of the moment or sort of what we want to come next, because that's kind of what is going on in our world today around us. It's just kind of, if it's fun, go do it. If it's fair, it's fine. You know, if it's something that you want and it's not going to hurt somebody else, okay, go do it. But we also know that when we keep on doing that, we are going to have a problem also as well. So showing some restraint in our lives is important too. Now, it's true that many of us are working towards showing some restraint because we know that when we hold back on one thing, we can give back to someone else. If we hold back in one area, that might give us a chance to give back to someone else. Now, that's not necessarily the kind of generosity that's going to change everything for everybody, but it might lead to some spontaneous generosity that could be a gift of hope, a spark of joy for somebody because you made a one-off choice that changes their day. And you never know what's going to happen from there. And the other piece of this, when we think about self-control, is being able to regulate our desires. And if I'm being completely honest, which I try to be, so if I'm being more candid, I guess is the better way to say it, this is probably one of the places where I struggle the most, is making sure that my desires align with God's desires. Now, this comes in any, many different forms, but part of this is making sure that what I want is what God wants. What I want in and for and out of my life is what God wants in and for and out of my life. And when I don't check in on what that looks like, then I don't pursue what God has in store for me. Now, for me, and I hope you can come up with a parallel for yourself, right? So going down the list of who I am, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm a husband, and I'm a father, and I'm a pastor. And apparently I'm a writer some days too. But when I think about that kind of list of things in my life, I've got being a follower of Jesus, a husband, a father, and a pastor. That's what orients God's desires for me, because that's what God has called me to be. And in my particular case, and in many other people's cases too, that comes with a sense of promise and a sense of commitment and a sense of being dedicated to those things. So for me, that comes in the form of the wedding vows that I made. It comes in the form of the commitment I made to being a father. And then in my particular case as a pastor, my ordination promises or vows that I make. And through those, I feel God speaks to me about what God desires in my life. And now maybe that's the firstborn rule follower in me, or the person who just likes to people please, I don't know. But I really hope that God is using these human things to speak to me and show me what my desires should really be. And what that looks like is that I don't do just what I want. It means that I try to do what is good for the people that are counting on me. Because when that happens, my desires are aligned with God's desires. And when you pursue a similar path in your life, that's the same thing that'll happen to you. Your desires will align with God's desires. Now, that does not mean we need to have a boring life where we don't do anything fun, where we don't go and enjoy the outdoors, where we don't go and enjoy a movie, or we don't have fun or anything like that. Rather, actually, no, it is these things and more, because God wants us to experience the fullness and goodness of life. But also it means that we're making sure that others experience that as well. And that's part of fulfilling God's desires for us, is that we help others experience what God desires for them, which is full, rich, and free lives that aren't stuck in place, that aren't held back, and are able to experience the freedom that God wants for every one of us. Now, there's a part of this that I think about when we think about self-control that does center around what do we eat, what do we drink, what do we put into our bodies, what comes out of us, of course. Some of these other pieces end up manifesting in, do we say the right things? Do we say the wrong things? And all these kinds of pieces too. And that is a part of self-control, and clearly a part of it that I need to work on for myself. But in the big picture, if we are willing to focus in on self-control of our emotions, our desires, and our impulses in the larger picture, think about how much better or how much fruitful our lives will be. Now, not better by becoming just better humans, but becoming better as the Spirit emerges in us, as God becomes more and more evident in who we are and how we live. As we find ourselves called into deeper connection with others, my prayer, a hope that we have that comes out of this scripture, is that we can have greater self-control so that what God hopes for us can emerge as what comes out of us. When we're under control, God is in control. And that's where God wants to be in our lives. Well, as we wrap up our time together, would you please pray with me? God, we give you thanks that you are a God who is under control and a God who shows self-control. God, we're mindful that you could do whatever you want, and we're glad that there are times where you don't. Because that gives us life, that gives us second chances, and it means that we have opportunities to get it right. And God, as we come before you now, help us to be people who show self-control as best we can. God, we know we're not going to get it right, and we're grateful for the forgiveness you give to us in light of that. But don't let us fall backwards. Rather, help us to move forward so we show better control of our impulses, our emotions, and our desires. God, in this very moment, we ask that your Spirit take charge of those things. Help us to feel your leading so that we can live into the freedom that you give to us, but so that we live in a way that brings freedom to others as well. God, help us to embrace your leading so that we are led by you and not by the desires of our fallen hearts. God, we pray this in your name. Amen.